D.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I think you always have short-term goals and long-term goals, and you know, this year's the one I'm focused on, and obviously I want to play for a long time, so I've said that for a while. I feel like I'm a broken record, but you know, it's really this year is the focus, and you know, this team needs a great quarterback, and you know, hopefully I can go out and be that.
Tom Brady speaks. That was yesterday. Patriots training camp. Final day of training camp at Foxborough. Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub. What you make of that?
I mean, we've heard the first part how many times? The last part is what stuck out to me. This team needs a great quarterback.
He knows it.
Like, uh-oh. Maybe the team's not that good. I've always been good. I always haven't been good. I've been great. I need to be great again. Pressure's on.
This team needs a great quarterback.
That says everything. Not like, when has he ever said that going into a year?
You know, a lot of people say, oh, this is just how Tom Brady speaks. This is what he says all the time. Find the quote. Go ahead. Find it. You've got 18 years worth of
can't find it.
You know, training camp quotes. So you want to go back and comb through and find this. Go ahead. I'd like to see it. I maybe he has said it before. I don't think he has.
To play devil's advocate for a sec, and not even devil's advocate, just another explanation.
Okay.
Is it also him saying, this is a great franchise?
No.
Let me finish.
Pocket full of shit.
You can't even let you get
still
it out.
Music. With great ownership awesome. And a great coach, this team needs a great quarterback.
I didn't hear him say all those other things that you added in.
Well, you're implying a bunch of stuff. I'm implying a bunch of stuff.
I'm taking it at face value. This team needs a great quarterback. Is
and
that
then
statement
you're adding
true or
in
false?
Because the rest of the team stinks so bad, they obviously need a great quarterback if they want to succeed. I'm throwing in, this is a great franchise, deserving and in need of a great quarterback.
So you're saying that he's saying this team needs a great quarterback because any team needs a great quarterback to be highly successful. Is that
yes,
what you're
yet another explanation.
Okay. I think that what I just offered was the same as what you offered. It's all the same thing, right? Every team needs a great quarterback. Great teams need great quarterbacks.
There's two sides of this. This team needs a great quarterback because otherwise it's screwed. And then the other side is this team needs a great quarterback kind of in the macro, kind of the 30,000-foot view. They just need a great quarterback in New England and everywhere else and blah, 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 blah.
How about his other quote about urgency? There's a lot of urgency.
That one's specific to the team.
I heard that the other day. Somebody, he was trying to throw a fade to somebody down the right sideline, and somebody didn't go get it. And this is about an hour before a show. And he's screaming, let's go! We got to work! Guys, we got to work! Like, somebody's not getting it. And he's still, here he is. I mean, coming off 2 days off and lackadaisical route and
Brady,
again, who's in the huddle in week one?
That last week, Brady didn't have his full complement of reps because I think he was nursing the sore back thing.
Okay.
But when he was out there, Zoe, I mean, throughout this camp, he's sort of been rallying guys. Even early in camp, we saw that. Trying to get guys going.
You have to do that, and that's normal for him.
And that's what a leader will do.
Right.
And that's what he is. But
boy, he slid that in there with that. I almost fell off my couch when I heard that.
I think it stands out to us because we know what else is around him, because we know what surrounds him offensively and how it's not what it once was, maybe even a year ago.
Does Aaron Rodgers say that?
It's not what it was a year ago. It's not what it was 2 years ago. It's on the decline. The receivers in decline show 10 to 2 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's a real show.
Receivers in decline. Yes, that's what it is. So the urgency part sort of stands out, saying there's a lot of urgency. We're not where we need to be. Got a lot of work to do.
I like to call that the receivers on the pine show, not the receivers in decline, because most of these receivers should be sitting on the pine. I mean, he knows it. It's like SOS, and he's like, same old bleep. You know, they need me to have another great year. There ain't any other way to sugarcoat that one.
He has
this
to carry
calculated. This guy is calculated when he speaks and when he talks.
There's two guys that have to carry it. It's Brady and it's Gronkowski.
This quarterback needs to have a great year, and hopefully I can be that great guy for them. This isn't about team. This isn't about brand. This is about organization. It's okay, I've been through 2.5 weeks of camp. I've been through this 18 years prior. I know what I'm looking at. I need to be great. I can't have a sore back. I can't have bad days. I can't have off throws.
I'm very cynical, so every time I hear him speak now, all I can think about is his $5 million in incentives. So I hear this yesterday. This team needs a great quarterback. Like, uh-huh. You guys need a great quarterback. You need a great quarterback. And you're making me earn that $5 million. Not only is that just my way to make the $5 million, I need to be all those things for us to be any good. Does that sort of tie in? Is that on his mind?
Yeah, it's... I do not...
You're damn right I need to be top five in passing percentage.
You're damn right I do.
I don't get all caught up in the incentivized contracts, the whole notion of somebody having to earn their money. That's for Tom Brady, yes, I can see where it's a bit disrespectful or a bit tough to swallow that other guys are making more money guaranteed than he's going to make this year. But it all serves the same master, greatness. This team needs a great quarterback. I need to be great. I need to be great to earn my money. I mean, it's all working toward that same goal. It seems more like the goal of somebody who's a third-year QB still earning his stripes and making his reputation, not for Tom Brady. But if it all ends up working toward the same goal, then I don't see a problem there. What's the problem is the disrespect that is inherent with it, but he's going to have to get over it.
No, I'm saying that he might be motivated to say things like this because he's irritated by it. He's irritated by the incentives. And that's part of it. Meaning, you made me earn this. But you know what? You need me. You need me. Without me, this doesn't go. Yeah, you need me to be all those things that you put in the incentives. Because look what I have around me. Look what you left me with. I'm heavily reading between the lines. Oh,
yeah, you are. But you know what? Kick back a little bit.
Why?
You know what today? Today's National Relaxation Day.
What are you talking about?
What does that mean?
I don't know. It says it right here on Twitter. It's national. Every day is a day. Like yesterday was National Cream
Soda. We lost out today at 10:09.
It says relax. Enjoy the day.
National, is that on his Google thing?
National. It's right here. National Relaxation Day. Trends on Twitter right there. You can relax now. We could all relax and have a nice show.
All right, let me shut the mic. Zoe, take it from here.
No! Well, what are we going to do here, Jim? We're going to take some calls.
Oh.
Take it up to the clock.
10:09.
Do they want to do a crossover down the line in 3 hours?
No.
Thank you to Touch and Rich for providing a good lead in this morning.
I don't think Tom Brady ever wants you to read between the lines. He's pretty well thought out. I think he's very direct when he talks. He gives you the old him, huh? Well, you know. It's camping. We're out here working hard. We got to work hard, but there's a reason he said this team needs a great quarterback.
This team needs a great quarterback.
I mean, I almost fell off my chair when I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, you were very worked up over. You thought it was quite the quote.
Like, wow.
Oh boy.
Like, holy crap! Because you don't have his guy either for the first four games, so that's on his mind. You don't have Edelman. That helps him be great.
And
now you got to work harder. I think he's telling you. Holy crap, we're not even there. We're not even close to being there.
So that's the urgency part, right?
And this is why
about
I think
the urgency not being where they need to be.
This is why I think he plays some tomorrow night.
I think that he has said before, but you say, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, we got to be better every game. We got to continue to improve.
No, that's the him-ha stuff
this,
he gives
this
you.
One seems rather real.
This is direct.
They're not where they need to be 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in now. They are not where they need to be.
No.
They've probably got a long way to go between now and week one against Houston.
And any team drill of where you're keeping score, whether it's 11-on-11 out in the field, whether it's down in red zone, where you're coming out as blitz pickup, whether it's goal line, they've gotten their ass kicked by the defense and everyone to the point where the defense is laughing, saying they're having a good time. Is this defense great?
No.
No.
Not that we've seen in a real game.
No, they got a chance to be better than what they have
been. I think they're going to be improved.
That's the best thing we could say about this defense. They have a chance to be better than what they were last year, and things need to come together for them.
Well, this is a part that I wonder, too. Have we been fooled into thinking this defense is better than it is based on what they're facing on a daily basis? They didn't look so hot when they went out into a game situation last week against real competition.
Second-team running backs.
Right. That's sort of my
point. Well, call for what it is. We'll call it tomorrow night for what it is, and we'll keep score of which ones are ones and twos and threes, and how's it look? How's it look? Did it advance any more from the week prior? Now, to be fair to both sides here, neither side is game planning. You're not sitting here game planning for the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night, but you want to look better in the one-on-ones and the spots you're going to put people in. If Kenny Britt gets out there, you better run and you better catch a damn ball. Philip Dorsett, you go over the middle again like you did last week, You better catch it if they throw it in the crowd and not alligator arm it like you did last week. You run a go route this week. You better not get pinned against the damn sideline again. You got to see guys make the mistakes in the past. Leave the mistakes in the past. Don't make the same mistake twice, week to week to week, back to back. That's what kills these coaches.
All right, we'll talk more about this and the receiving group later this hour. We're all here together in the new studio for the first time.
Jim looks cute.
Meaning everyone is here. Jim is here today. Tom is here today. Colin the intern is here today. Yeah. I mean, he's here.
This is his last day with you guys, by the way.
It is?
Yeah, he just told us that. He's got to have some knee surgery next week, so he's bagging out the final week.
What?
Typical UMass.
This unbelievable.
Unreal.
He's just bailing on us? Like, oh, today's my last day?
I already sent his evaluation in to his professor. He got an A, all that stuff.
Can I write on it? Can I write on it?
Unbelievable.
No, he's in Friday, but you guys aren't going to be here.
Oh, we're not going to be here.
Are
Sorry.
You?
Yeah. We're going to get to something that we have not touched on related to Tom Brady's contract. Tommy Karn had a great story on this column on the Patriots giving Brady some incentives. But Jim is back, which means we need to hit on a point that Jim deserves all the credit for. And that is the bonus money and the restructuring of when Tom Brady gets paid this year, as opposed to how much Tom Brady gets paid this year. We'll get to both of those items coming up with your call, 617-779-0985. You're on Zolak and Bertrand.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, how are you feeling health-wise?
I feel good. Thank you. I feel really good.
The plan is for you to play tomorrow?
Yep. I mean, I think the plan's always to play. It's whether I do or don't is up to coach. But, yeah, I certainly plan on being out there.
I think we'll see Tom Brady on Thursday night. I believe he will play. He will play against the Eagles. Of course, you can get all the coverage of that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Up, beginning at 4:30 tomorrow. The Patriots preview. Yours truly. And Chris Gasper from Splitsville, our new home at Patriot Place.
Splitsville, people.
Yeah, you spelled it wrong on Twitter yesterday.
I did?
So, yeah, you put, like, Splitville, and it was too many letters of, I forget.
Damn
but
phone.
Splitsville is where we're going. All right, catch us there tomorrow before the game. Let's get to another element of Brady's restructure that we have not touched on yet. And that is money was transitioned into a bonus up front, $10 million. Pushed into a signing bonus to start the year, which means Brady, instead of earning that as part of $14 million in a base salary over the course of the regular season, he will now get that check if it hasn't been cut already to him. He's going to get a check in the mail. Here you go, $10 million, which he would have received between now and the end of the regular season anyway as part of his base salary.
Yeah.
He would have been paid this by, let's say, New Year's. Over the next 4 months. So instead of getting it over the next 4 months, he gets it right now. He accelerates how fast he gets the money. I want to read this list to you that was not compiled by me. Compiled by Jim Louth. Because Jim Louth has sort of recognized this pattern months ago. We did mention this on the air.
This is via SpotTrack, the website you were using for cash earnings when we talked about it. Yes.
Right.
You look nice on TV, Jim.
And so he recognized a pattern in here that since in a number of Tom Brady's seasons as a professional quarterback in the NFL, he has received a big lump sum payment in a bonus almost every single year. And it really picks up around 2010 where it becomes more consistent. But here are just some of the early ones. In 2002, it was $3.5 million. In 03, $8.7 million. 04, $5.5 million. Then it was $11.8 for 5, 6, and 7. Those are big chunk payments being made in the offseason to a player. And then it went down to $3 million and $3 million for 08 and 09. And then it picked right back up again in 2010. So starting in 2010, here are the offseason bonus payments being made to Tom Brady each year.
Turn the radio up.
Right? One check, one lump sum.
In March.
$9 million, $14 million, $11 million, $12 million, $17 million, $5 million. 14, 14, 11, and he gets that 11 now because of what he just did, correct? That's the
correct.
Updated number.
Yeah, $1 million is a roster bonus and $10 million is the new signing bonus.
The guaranteed money.
That number would have been $1 million And now it goes to $11 million as a lump sum payment.
So heading into this year, if you want to add those years up, 2010 to 2017, eight seasons, he made $26 million in salary and $96 million in bonuses.
Mm. But he's used to getting a big lump sum bonus check every year before the season. This year, it was $1 million.
Eight seasons, $96 million. Average of $12 million a year.
Plus, he did a lot of stuff in the offseason that was unusual compared to other offseasons to where, gee, maybe I have to make up that money doing other things.
So it's almost like he like banks on this, right? You know, like you bank on
used to something.
You bank on like a tax return check, like, oh, I'm going
to
get my taxes done, right? Jim loves tax return day. It's his favorite day ever.
I hate tax.
He banks on it every single year. I don't know anyone
it's
that
my savings account.
I know it is. I don't know anyone that loves their tax return as much as you do. But it's almost
the career number, by the way. The career.
Yes.
He's made $197 million right until now, and 44.5 is game salary.
So he has received the overwhelming majority of his money in the form of big lump sum payments, and this year he wasn't going to get one.
$151 million in bonuses.
So can I ask a question? Is this just because out of habit he likes to get that payment, or does he need it for something? Like, is there something that he's paying every year with this money that he needs to have his check, you know, he needs that $10 million now instead of having it paid out between now and, let's say, January 1?
You mean like Hard Knocks referenced somebody yesterday, right, on the show?
Pardon me?
Their financial expert referenced somebody on the show
that's
associated with Tom Brady.
Carl Nassib of the Cleveland Browns is a Tony Robbins devotee. And in the show, he is doling out financial advice about saving your money and getting it into accounts with interest and compounding interest as soon as possible. And I don't know. I don't know if that's what it is, that he's worried about the interest over the next 4 months on the money. Or does he spend the money on something every year at this time? What does he need it for now?
7% every 10 years, not 10% every 7 years.
What?
It's called the rule of seven. If you get 10% on your returns, you double it every 7 years. Like Tony Robbins about it. He's my hero.
That's Carl Nassib. He's being asked there about his interest rates. Like, where the hell are you getting these interest rates that you're talking? He's like, oh, I got like a 9.5% interest rate. He's like, where? Like, where's that come from? Really? What bank are you using for that? But I don't know.
Tony Robbins, Bank of Trust.
Right? Like, where's that interest rate coming from? Anyway.
Using Noriega's bank. It's fine. It can be a great interest rate.
I'm investing it.
Yeah.
In international trade. I don't know. It's something that I think is overlooked in this. He likes to have the big payment. He likes to get a big lump sum payment before the season is.
Maybe
even
he's got like a balloon payment on a lease on one of his cars or something. He's got to make that thing every July.
I mean, I can't imagine that he's hard up for the cash. He doesn't need the money between him and his wife financially. They don't need the money, right? Is it out of habit? Is it just because he likes to have it? Like, no, I need it now. I'm impatient. Give it to me now.
Well, I just act. It's out of respect. You just want to be.
That's right. It's like carrying the mother's groceries.
Is it like
home?
The Ricky Henderson effect? Like, he just wants to have the check?
I just want to be appreciated.
Want to be appreciated. Want to copy it and put it on the wall? Like, big check.
Just want to be appreciated.
I wonder about other forms of payment and other favors given to Tom Brady in lieu of making him the highest paid quarterback.
But I think he considers this one of these favors because he likes this.
I think that's one of them. I think another one is being able to build a house on some property that normally wouldn't be available to any, you know, just average Joe on the street. And it's like somehow it becomes available because it was purchased from a college that wasn't necessarily, you know, stuff like that. I mean, favors given that no amount of money would be able to buy, you know, stuff like that. I think he gets taken care of in a variety of ways.
Maybe his wife got a free membership at that SoulCycle there in Brookline.
Well, that's a nice one.
Nice one, right? Maybe you get a free hot bar at Wegmans.
Is that like Wegmans?
Yeah, Wegmans.
Okay. Wegmans is the
Wegmans
is the pet version. I thought
Wegmans is where they groomed your dog. What do you think about this bonus thing?
I think Jim's angry that it's viewed that Tom Brady got screwed last week and only got a $5 million bonus. Where Jim's point is, Tom Brady's making a lot of money, and he's getting paid well, and he's getting paid cash. Because there's a massive perception out there that, boy, they took Brady over the coals. They're making him work for this money. They're making him work for it. He's got to hit incentives.
pretty hard.
You really had to work hard for that $10 million $10 check you just got, right?
See what I got? Yeah. Okay. Angry Jim.
This whole week has been poor Tom Brady. I was on vacation.
Oh!
This week. Poor Tom Brady.
Here we go.
Oh, Brady doesn't have receivers. Brady doesn't have anybody. Oh, Brady's not getting paid enough money. It's all poor Tom Brady week. You know what this is set up to be? Set up to be the year that he makes, oh, look what he did with this group. Look what he did. Oh, they only had three former first-round picks and a couple of Pro Bowlers mixed in there and an all-world tight end. But look what he did with this group of receivers.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. You think the group is good because they're former first-round picks?
Do you think Gronk is good?
Yes.
Do you think Chris Hogan's good?
Chris Hogan's a three.
Guy had almost 200 yards in an AFC championship.
Yeah, but he's not a one or two.
Right.
Why do you get that?
Right now,
other guys
right,
took
but right now he's your
him.
Best receiver, which is
think
scary.
Edelman's good?
Yeah. I think he used to be good. I'm
you
not
guys
sure
were
what
singing
he is
the
now.
Praises of Eric Decker. Sign this guy. Sign this guy. Sign this guy. He's a former Pro Bowler. You think you probably think he's good, right?
He can't separate.
I don't think he's been very good.
Not a good runner.
Patterson, Dorsett, and Kenny Britt are all former first-round picks.
Yeah.
Talented guys.
Your last time
right?
Tom Brady threw a ball Someone. To Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, my God.
Practice number two,
Philip Dorsett's
Jim.
Hurt. Had a scare. Philip Dorsett got hurt, and there was a scare at practice yesterday, right?
Isn't that
if
an
it's
indictment?
A scare, that means he's pretty good,
that's,
right?
That's an indictment on the receiver group
no,
that we are holding our breath
for Philip Dorsett.
Anything about Philip Dorsett means like, okay, now that's one less guy that Tom Brady can throw the ball to in week one.
Well, if he's no good, then they can just place any guy in that spot. Put Braxton Berrios. Put Riley McCann.
They've already got
in
so many guys in camp.
You had 5 days off. Now you're all angry.
I like it. He's fired up.
He's fired up.
I'm not going to
so
tell him he's wrong.
You're all upset with Belichick's offseason. So you're really pissed at Belichick's offseason. He didn't provide him enough weapons, right?
I don't like the receiver position right now.
Because
I don't
their
like
offense
what I'm
was the problem in the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
It wasn't a problem, but they also had other guys on the field.
See, Jim, but I'm not stupid enough to not understand that they're going to make magic with four different sets of backs in these tight ends the first four games until Edelman gets back. They don't really need Cordarrelle Patterson or Dorsett. Just line two guys up outside. This is all going to operate within 12 yards for four games. And it's going to be a little smoke and mirrors. A little quick pass.
So why do they need a great quarterback then?
Because he's got to get the ball to the right guy.
Why? Because they can't afford to have any mistakes right. at the quarterback
would you
position
rather
in addition to what they have at the receiver position.
Maybe it could be Brian Hoyer per our discussion yesterday. I'll put Brian Hoyer in there. It was just an average quarterback. I think they need a great one. I mean, I think he recognizes that. See, he thinks it's all, he's setting everybody up.
Okay, can I ask you one question, though?
No, the media is just, it's poor Tom Brady, poor Tom Brady. And Hardy, you're the one who was anti-appreciated to have fun. I want to be appreciated and have fun, right? He's not being appreciated properly. He's being over-appreciated now.
What, by his team?
No, by the media.
Oh, that's not his team? He doesn't
storylines. The storylines. Okay. Story I just said the storylines on vacation was poor Tom Brady. Poor Tom Brady.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with what was the appreciated by the team aspect of it. That has nothing to do with the team. You could say that the same thing is very much in effect that the team doesn't appreciate him based on the fact that they're making him earn the $5 million through six different incentives.
Yeah, and just because you were off for a week doesn't mean we have to come back here and reset our takes and explain ourselves from stuff that we maybe did or didn't say while you were on the beach.
You get up
all
in our faces.
Yeah, yelling at me for things.
I saw your TV last
night. You know
what? You get an 8.5 on the panic scale.
For
the Patriots receivers.
Yes! Didn't have anybody throw the
receiving
for. If Philip Dorsett was in fact hurt, then yes, you start to wonder who's going to be out there for the first 4 weeks of the season. Who's he throwing the ball to other than Chris Hogan? And I love Chris Hogan, but he's your number one guy. It's Chris Hogan, and it's a bunch of other dudes.
Chris Hogan's
right, we were arguing about this yesterday. Whether
James West's going to catch 10 balls in the first few games.
Whether it's a position battle, I said a battle indicates there's high level of competition vying for some spots. Right now, it's like, hey, can you catch it? You make the team. You catch it, you make the team. And you make the team. And you make the team.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about whether or not they'll be okay, because I understand that they have running backs who can catch the ball, Rob Gronkowski. But if you're just talking about receivers and wide receivers, how do you feel good about it? How do you or anyone else feel good about that?
They have Gronk.
Not a receiver. Tight end. Receivers.
Okay, pass catchers. I'm talking pass catchers.
Well, I'm talking receivers.
Yeah, now it changes. Now it's pass catchers. Mm. We're going to pick this up on the other side. This is good. We found something here. We have found something.
This team needs a great quarterback.
That Jim has come back in. He's raging, and I love it. I love it. 2006
More
versus
days off.
2018.
More days off.
Getting to a tweet from Zoe that he had yesterday about the comments from Tom Brady and the team needing a great quarterback. Which is the better group, 2006 or 2018? We will discuss after these headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox won their fifth straight last night, 2-1 over the Phillies in Philadelphia. Rick Porcello out there dealing for 7 innings, 10 strikeouts all told, just the one run. As far as this road trip, it'll wrap up tonight with the second of a quick 2-game set. Meanwhile, the Patriots will have a walkthrough today ahead of tomorrow night's game. Yesterday, Tom Brady was talking about his new hat.
Our equipment manager, Brendan, was been begging me to try it, and I'm very resistant, but it's been pretty sweet. So I kind of like it. I don't know. The face mask isn't quite right. So I'm working on that. Trying it out.
Some hot equipment talk for you. Tomorrow night, the Eagles.
Charles, the face mask.
All right, it's not quite right. He's got to fix it. Maybe he doesn't like the vision in it.
Get out that one of those hot torches. You melt the sides and you kind of bend it to where you want.
Is that allowed? Can you bend the face mask?
You could fudge it.
That's what they need. Playing fast and loose with some more rules. Tomorrow night, the Philadelphia Eagles will be in town for preseason game number 2. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jim tells me this song was out in 2006. I'll take his word for it. Yes, it was. 2006. Jim wouldn't lie.
That's all the time.
What do you mean lies? 617-779-0985.
Dirty Bay. What, you just came out in 06?
That's what we just said. Yeah, we covered that.
Yeah, the top song was Daniel Powder, Had a Bad Day. I wasn't going to play that.
Oh, God, that song is dreadful.
Had a Bad Day. Yeah, dreadful. Feel worse about his receivers then.
That is a dreadful song, one that I don't care to hear. Zoe, you tweeted yesterday at 3:41 p.m. Mm-hmm. when Brady said, quote, "This team needs a great quarterback. Hopefully I can be that." You said, "Couldn't agree with his assessment more."
Yeah.
2006 ain't nothing compared to this. When you know it, you know it. Hashtag go carry them.
Yeah.
Which means what? That you think 2006 was better than the group they're left with right now?
I'd take Rishay Caldwell right now over what you have on the outside. That guy could run. That guy could catch. He had bug eyes. He had issues. No doubt about it. He wasn't the best character off the field, but kid could play.
2006 at the receiver position, the Patriots, as you just mentioned, had Rishay Caldwell.
Yep.
They had Troy Brown.
Another pretty good receiver. I'll take him in the slot right now.
Doug Gabriel. They had Chad Jackson.
Oh.
And Jabbar Gaffney.
Gaffney ended up playing his ass off for you.
And they had someone by the name of Kelvin Kite, who I do not remember.
I think he wore 17 or something like that. I'm not sure.
He did wear, actually, he wore 19.
19, I'm sorry.
19.
And it was in the teens.
But he had, I think he had, let's see, a total of 1 catch. So he doesn't count. No. Caldwell, Brown, Gabriel, Jackson, Gaffney. That was the receivers.
Yes.
This year, Edelman, who will be back in October.
Can't count him.
Hogan, who is their best receiver that count will be available week one.
I agree.
It's Patterson, Dorsett, Britt, Decker, and then you get all these guys that are trying to make the roster. McCarron, Berrios, Lucien, Matthew Slater, who I don't count, and someone by the name of Paul Turner.
Okay, Rishay Caldwell, Troy Brown,
who will not be on the team.
I bet
any amount of money that Paul Turner is not going to be on the team.
Who the hell is Paul Turner?
He's not going to make it.
Again, Caldwell, Brown, Gaffney. Give me your 3 from this year.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why can't you count Edelman?
Because he's out the first 4 games.
Okay, Gaffney wasn't
talking
on the
about
team
right
the first
now.
4 games, so you can't count him then.
Oh, you want to get to your little nitpicking back and forth there on time?
Well, that's not really a nitpick. That's a valid point.
You're like
Edelman,
you know what?
Will make a return in October.
Troy Brown, I take him now.
Fine.
Gaffney, he played his ass off for that. Just trying to subtly build up that 06 team.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Oh, were they up 18 in an AFC title game on the road? Yeah, I think they were.
I bet you said I was going to Miami with the Super Bowl.
Right.
You had me convinced we were going to Miami.
We booked flights. I booked flights.
My heart's broken.
You have booked flights at halftime at 21-3?
To play the freaking Bears. Booked flights on Southwest. Yes.
They would have. That to me is still the worst. That's a worse loss in 06 than the Super Bowl in 07. I'm sorry.
What do you think they would have done to the Bears?
Like, you lose to the Giants. They were a respectable team. I know that they went out, they just got hot, at the right time, but they were a tough team.
God. Okay, take Edelman. So I'll give you Edelman and Hogan. Who's your third? Come on.
I got to think about it. I think it's Patterson. But I think he serves like one singular role.
You're going to take Patterson when the last time Tom Brady threw him a ball, a single ball, was practice number two of training camp.
Yeah, I didn't say this was an easy
exercise. I'd take Dorsett. At least Brady works with Dorsett on the side. I don't know if Cordero can run routes in week three. I don't know that yet.
All right, so let's say it's Dorsett. Let's assume, you know, go on that premise, that it's Hogan. It's an Edelman in a condition we're not aware of. We don't know what he's going to be when he returns. He might be good. He might not be.
Okay, but it could be like comparable to Troy Brown. At least you got a guy you trust and it's your money guy.
Okay, that's fair.
So
Edelman
and Brown negate each other.
Brown that year had a total of 43 catches. Brown had 40. Do you think Edelman can come up with 43 catches this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Do we think that Chris Hogan can come up with 61 catches?
Yes, he should. That's a big number for him.
It's a big number.
For him, yes.
61 catches.
Look up Brandon Cooks from last year.
Now, forget about Brandon Cooks. I'm just going to...
I mean, that's the guy. There's your 60-plus.
Quick
and
math
over
here. I don't want to get it wrong because I'll feel like an idiot. What, 61 you said?
Yeah.
Right. His career high is 41 in Buffalo back in 2014.
It's less than four catches a game for Chris Hogan.
Okay.
And he's going to be the main guy catching the ball weeks one through four.
Okay.
Yes. He's good for 61. Next.
Okay. He caught 38 in a full season 2 years ago for the Patriots. 38 catches.
He's brand new.
Sexy.
Okay, just saying.
Didn't know what he was.
If you
yet.
Feel good about him getting 61, good. How about the tight end?
And by the
and
way,
we will factor in the tight end on this because I can tell you that in 2006 they had Watson and Graham. Mm-hmm. Okay, we will combine Watson and Graham into one player.
Yep.
Is that fair to compare to Rob Gronkowski?
No.
Is that
no.
Can I combine a Graham and a Watson?
No. You can do whatever you want. You get 10 grams if you want. Still ain't gonna get what.
Okay, what I'm telling you that the two of them. The two of them that year.
Jesus.
You get a couple grams.
They combined for 70 catches. Can Rob Gronkowski get 70 catches?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure.
Sure. If we're going to give Hogan 61, we got to give Gronkowski 70.
I agree. Yes.
It sort of tells me that they're sort of close in what they are. It's not. Here's what I will give you. So I don't think that. This is definitively worse than 2006, but it's close.
How's your defense in 06?
Better. Better than this defense.
Now some Brady numbers from 06?
Hold on.
Game-specific Brady numbers from 06?
Just 1 second. And you're asking a 41-year-old quarterback to do and try and replicate what he did many moons ago.
Now to that point, though, because I brought that up last night, and I think it was Phil Perry who said,
yeah, he's not the same quarterback he was in 06. He's better.
Different,
better. He's right, though.
He's better in some
With
ways.
With multiple postseasons tacked onto him.
I mean, we're talking about the game of football here. He's 12 years older. So let's take his hit a little differently. Just a reality check here every once in a while.
Give me some numbers, boy.
He had six games under 200 yards passing and with a low of 78. Against Miami. 78 yards passing.
What was their record?
In the regular? 13-3.
13-3. Do they win that game with the 78 yards passing?
No, they got shut out. 21-0.
Okay. Was that the
Matt Castle game? No, because he put Castle in and like he threw a pick six or something and he put Brady right back in down
the wasn't the wild card the Wildcat Taylor. Game, right?
No. No.
What year was that?
He completed 11 passes week one, 15 passes week two, 15 passes week four, 16 passes week five, 18 passes week six.
Yeah. Can this team win that way?
No.
No, but the game's changed. They know that. They have more backs than they had now.
But he has spot games like that last year.
It's a good discussion, though.
Last year, week one against Kansas City, 16 completions for 267 yards. Week seven. 249 yards. You go to week 12, 18 completions for 227 yards. You get to week 16, I understand they're playing differently there, but 224, he has down games even as recently as last year.
But it's a good discussion because I think it really, when you look at Tom Brady, more all said and done here, and his career is over, that 06 season was one of his best seasons, if not the best. I know he's great, had great numbers in 07, he had phenomenal talent. Tom Brady did more with less in 06. That's sort of the premise of my point.
Let's go to Danny in Blackstone. Danny, what
Danny.
Do you think?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
How are you?
Doing all right. I used to be Danny from Somerville. I send in the Patriots raps that don't suck.
Danny from Somerville.
I got a couple Pats points. First, as far as the receivers go, it might be too late now. The ship might have sailed, but I can understand the argument for maybe not bringing on Dez Bryant because he might want $5 or $6 million. Mm-hmm. But couldn't you have
or 10.
Cut Blaine Allen for absolutely nothing and given Bryant that money? And then my other point is everybody's talking about the extension and saying that the Patriots don't have faith in Brady going forward. I think that another part of it might be that the deal, first off, it's got Belichick's scent all over it with the incentives. Is it possible that it's more of a, all right, you don't want to train with us? You think you got the method and you got it all figured out with Guerrero? Well, then you should be able to replicate what you did. You should be able to hit these numbers no problem if your training regimen is what you think it is. So put your money where your mouth is, kind of thing.
Maybe. But that still doesn't mean that it's, you know, what Brady wanted,
right,
or what he was looking for.
Correct.
Yeah, maybe they are. It is, you know, sort of trying to dangle a carrot or trying to motivate him or something like that. Or they just think there's a chance he doesn't meet those things and isn't going to get to that point. Or they're only willing to pay if he's what he's always been. 617-779-0985. Patriots points throughout the day, but also we had Hard Knocks episode 2 last night.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And
Jesus.
That
Thank
is, you. I hope that show wins an Emmy. It deserves it. It's that good.
Oh, Cleveland. The editing on it is phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. Everything about Cleveland is so good because they are so bad. We'll get to that coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Touch!
Guys? You okay?
No.
Can we stay off the f***ing quarterback? Oh, we hit the quarterback because we got no f***ing discipline whatsoever.
If this show, Hard Knocks, HBO, Tuesdays, doesn't end with a season finale in which the head coach gets fired and Todd Haley takes over, we've lost a great opportunity to make a picture-perfect ending.
It really is. It's must-see TV for the entire league, so that wherever you're at, other than Cleveland, be fortunate you're in that place.
Yeah, and like a dramatic plot reveal in the finale, you know? Ah, hey, by the end, Todd Haley finishes his takeover of the Cleveland Browns over the course of 4 weeks, and he's now the head coach going into the regular season. The Cleveland Browns, I'll tell you this, they're not as bad as I think they as I thought they were. And here's why.
They have some likable players.
They have coordinators.
They have good coaches.
They have two experienced coordinators. Their head coach, however,
is a
should be
I don't even
run
know how
out
to
of politely
town. Put it.
He is not head coach material. He just isn't.
Clown isn't the right word.
No.
Milquetoast.
Why do you think he's there?
Bland. Not a lot of fire.
He doesn't have a presence, and his players know it, and they don't respect him.
Nobody respects him.
His players do not respect the guy.
They walk into his office telling him or asking him, why am I running second team? Like, this is bullcrap, man. It's just walking in. Not knocking, not being walked in by secretary.
So you're talking about Corey Coleman, who was traded to the Bills a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, man.
This is now in last night's episode when Corey Coleman walks into Hugh Jackson's office. I think he may have been crying. Was he crying?
He was upset about
his reps. I think he was crying.
I don't know.
Can we play it? Corey Coleman in Hugh Jackson's office?
Yeah, I was going to start with the
Now this is
I didn't put it down on my list.
Well, no, it's fine.
I thought I did.
Real quick, this Corey Coleman guy,
by me.
He's got maybe a collection of 3,000 shoes that is lined up all over his apartment.
Sorry, I didn't put
from
that
from top
in.
To bottom.
That's my fault.
And he drives a Mercedes. I'm sure he's one of the guys that maxed out on the 401k.
We'll get to that one, Beetle. If we can, let's start with Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. That's a better example.
So here's Hugh Jackson, and he's trying to motivate, and he's trying to get these guys to do some practice. But then he's got some words of advice from Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. Oh, quit walking around up there. Let's go. Stop walking. Everybody up. Everybody up. Everybody up. Come here. Come here. Come here. When the f*** did we start walking around out here? Huh? When did we start, our level all of a sudden becomes like this?
Today.
When did that start, Kirko? Yep. When? When did it start, Batonio? Never. I'm not watching that shit anymore. Coaches, you better get after these guys and get to where they're supposed to be and let them practice the way we practice. Back to the top, the one drop. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, Hugh. Hugh. You can keep a rolling camera up there. And they can catch that.
So Tyrod Taylor is the voice you hear there saying, Hugh, Hugh. And he says, you can keep a rolling camera up there. He's explaining to him that the entire practice should be filmed from one end of the field. I mean, this is something that I thought was like elementary, like something that happens at every single practice of every single camp across the NFL.
Right. You stick a GoPro up there and just let it run.
When Zoe came into the NFL in what year? 91, Zoe?
Yeah.
Did they not have a lift in the end zone with a camera on it?
I got so pissed because they filmed so much of our stuff and we had got in trouble that I would take the lift, still it. You see it on some of the things. And I buried it in the woods and
I drove the lift into the woods.
Conduct detrimental because they had to bring a crane in to get it out.
That was 1991. 91.
Yeah, the old wacko school.
When the Patriots sucked, they were taping everything in practice. Tyrod Taylor's explaining to his head coach in 2018, Coach, keep the camera rolling at one end of the field.
There's this thing,
and then
after the practice, put the tape
on the projector in front of the whole team
and embarrass
and call
them.
Guys out for the stuff they're not doing well.
This, the Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Well,
who comes off looking, by the way, really good in this show. Like a guy who sort of has his crap together and looks at the rest of the team like, geez, I got a situation to deal with here.
Learned that from his time with the Bills.
All you got to do is show it one time in the meeting. Now guys are conscious of it, and they build good habits of jogging off the field. And show it in the film.
Some things from today that I want to show.
Then he does it.
Oh, my God.
No. This is what he does. This is the first time that Hugh Jackson has ever taken film from a practice and called out his players for the way they practice because Tyrod Taylor explained to him that that's something you can do.
This is what you're putting on tape. It ain't good enough. And you guys that's been here with me know damn well we ain't practiced like this. True?
Okay.
I think so.
Maybe. I got whacked and crushed on this on Twitter because people get on me like, hey, dumbass, you don't even understand it. He's there because of the Rooney Rule. No, that's not the reason. Somebody hired him and thought he was a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
There are many candidates. You got Brian Flores. Brian Flores got interviewed by the Arizona Cardinals because they know he's a good coach and that maybe they want him to lead them as the head coach. Somebody in Cleveland's got to wake up and understand Hugh Jackson doesn't have a feel for anything. Nothing. Here's a new player telling him, hey, coach, you can get a camera and film practice. And then when you have this thing called a team meeting, you could point bad things out to the team and correct those. And I know I'm the new guy here. Maybe I'm not used to the way things roll, but it might work that way.
Right. We're learning that Tyrod Taylor, even though we don't think much of him as a quarterback, is a pro. He's a pro. He's got a veteran's attitude. He talks like someone who's been around the game for a while and isn't an idiot.
I used to hate Todd. I could not stand Todd Haley. And so, after watching this, I am becoming a Todd Haley guy.
Now I love him.
I love it.
I've gone from hating him to loving him.
He should be the head coach.
Todd Haley, I think both come off really well. Do you want to wait on this? We'll get to some of the Haley stuff.
We'll do some more on the other side. Yeah,
why don't we pick it up in 90 seconds after these headlines.
Don't go anywhere.